Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet this morning, and we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, as we just are kind of arriving and a lot of different things going on in our mind and still filled with various things, just guide us now as we look into your word once again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have quite an interesting psalm this morning. This is a psalm of 9 verses of agony and 11 verses of answer to agony. So when's the last time you were really down? Really down. I mean down so low that you didn't even think there was a lower you could ever go. Or maybe you've never been that low. And what did you do? You probably prayed, at least I hope you did, and you didn't get any answer. And you kept praying, still no answer. Kept praying, still no answer. And then you started to succumb to Satan's tricks of personalizing it. I'm in this mess because of what I've done, but you can't remember what you did. It's kind of like Job. He was in real trouble, but he didn't know why. And his great comforters all told him it's because he sinned. And he says, no, yes, because you sinned, you've got to be sinning or you wouldn't be in that trouble. And then you go to the point, well, you go one step further, that God's mad at me. And then you go maybe a little bit further, God doesn't love me anymore. He used to. He never let me go through this. And then you go even further to the point, he doesn't care. And then you finally go to the point, he's not able to do anything about it. You ever get there? Well, the psalmist got there. And I think we can all get there to a degree, some more than others maybe. And maybe less than we used to when our faith was not as mature. But we have this psalm here where he's really crying out, and we use the word remembering in this psalm often. We're using it 2 times, and 1 considered in the first 9 verses, and 3 times in the turnaround. So remember is a big word today. So as I was thinking about songs, I just went back to this old Isaac Watt hymn, Our God, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, because that seemed like a remembering psalm. Exactly what we're talking about here. To remember, what did he do in the past? Our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. So let's sing along with this old hymn, if you would, please. So this is to the chief musician. This one's actually to Jeduthun. It's one of the latter psalms of Asaph. And verse 1, see if you can relate to this. I cried out, to the Lord with my voice. To God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. So when you pray, often we pray silently, with great intensity. But here we've got the writer here crying out to the Lord. Maybe you don't hear me when I'm not crying out so loudly. Of course, we know that's not true. The Lord doesn't need a loud voice to hear us. But we tend to want to hear. For example, if you've got a thief breaking in, it's nice to hear an alarm, right, or something like that. So, crying out to God with my whole voice, he gave ear to me in the day of trouble, in the day of my trouble, in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord. That's good. But now notice, my hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. Here you are praying, hands out all night. Well, at least in the night. Hands out, stretched out in the night without ceasing. So without ceasing kind of means continually, doesn't it? When's the last time you had your hands out at night for a long time? You start to get the picture here. He was really down. He was really down. This is, and you say, well, this can't happen to a believer. Yes, it can. But you don't have to stay there. Because verse 3, here's the first remembered. I remembered God. That's good. But what? And was troubled. So he's so far down when he thinks about God, he remembers God negatively. I remembered God and was troubled. Have you been that low yet? Hopefully not. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You know, when you get down emotionally, when you get down spiritually, it's easy to get overwhelmed, isn't it? Pastor Chuck used to say, you know, you can do pretty well if you only get two out of the three enemies at you. You know, we got Satan, we got the flesh, and we got the world. You can handle two of them, all right. When the three of them come at you, maybe the flesh is sickness, or maybe it's guilt, or whatever it is, and then you add Satan and you add the world on top of it, it can get really overwhelming. So here he says, my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, meaning pause and think about this. Now, verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. That means he can't sleep. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Now, here he's saying he's so bad he can't even speak with a loud voice. He couldn't even put it into words. I have considered, or I have remembered, the days of old, the years of ancient times. So I remember you used to answer my prayers, Lord. I remember the close times we had. But now, I call a remembrance of my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Looking, looking, looking. And now he gets to starting to let his mind take over and coming up with all kinds of wild speculations. In verses 7, 8, and 9. Will the Lord cast off forever? And of course, we would say, no way. But you get to that point and you start to believe you're going to be cast off forever. Will he be more favorable? No more? Will God not favor me anymore? Has his mercy ceased forever? Think of that. That's pretty low, isn't it? But that's where you're going with all this speculation. Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Pretty low, isn't it? Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there now, partly. But now he's going to turn. He's going to turn from in a way from a sigh to a song, really. And he said, this is my anguish, but I will remember. He's going to say that three times here. But I will remember what? The years of the right hand of the Most High. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Now he's going to go back and think about primarily about Israel, what all the Lord did for Israel. and see if you can relate to that as well. He says, I will also meditate on all your work. So first he's remembering and he's meditating on it. Now, these are good things. He's remembering and meditating on good things now. He's turned the corner from no hope and wild speculation. God doesn't love me anymore. You know, he wants me to eat worms or whatever you're thinking. I will also meditate on your work and what? Talk of your deeds. Oh my, he's starting to really turn around now. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now listen to this. Who is so great a God as our God? Boy, he has come back, hasn't he? From saying, you know, in a way, you don't love me anymore. You'll never love me anymore. You'll never serve any mercy anymore. And then he goes to the point, who is so great a God as our God? Bingo. 14, you are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. They're very clearly talking about the nation of Israel. Think about the Exodus. Think about being delivered from the bondage of sin. Now, can you relate to that? We were all in bondage. We were all slaves to what? To sin. We've been delivered from that bondage of sin. So we say hallelujah to that, right? Hallelujah to that. Out of the darkness, what miracles we see wrought, parting of the Red Sea, providing of the manna, providing of the water. If you'd ever tried to move 1.5-2 million people in the middle of a desert for 40 years, you could do all the planning you wanted to plan. You wouldn't make it over a couple of days. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And they saw them all, and still, they didn't believe. They got all the way, as you know, to Kadesh Barnea in about a little over 2 years, because they were at Sinai for a year. And now they're at the edge of the Promised Land. And you know the story, don't you? The people came to Moses, as Deuteronomy says, and they said, we want to send some spies in. And Moses thought it was a good idea, apparently, because he's thinking, my, they've been through this terrible wilderness. They'd never want to go back to Egypt now. And they're right on the edge of the Promised Land. They've got to, so let them go in. They'll see how good it is. My, you know, that'll cure them of all of this wanting to go back to Egypt, right? Wrong. So they send out the 12 spies, right? They bring back a pig of grapes so big they have to carry a bunch of grapes between two people on a pole. Yeah, it's good land, all right. Yeah, rich. But everybody's a giant in the land. Or they're in charge. And there's all the cities are walled high as the heavens. Well, that's not true. They bring back all these speculative reports. But 10 of them out of 12 said it was no good. And so the people, because of unbelief, went into a 40-year wilderness march. And only two of them went in. Joshua and Caleb. So the unbelief was so severe there and costly. And so it can be with us as well, too, unbelief. But here, he's seeing the miracles that God has done for Israel. Verse 16, the waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, they were afraid. Of course, we remember the Jordan being parted. We remember the Red Sea being parted. The depths also trembled. We don't know about all what all of these stand for, but they're all miracles. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. Wow. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea. Your path in the great waters. And your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And then he abruptly stops. Take a deep breath, because the next psalm is the second longest psalm in the book of Psalms, 72 verses. So we're going to have the history of next week of Israel. But that's what this is leading up to, it seems to me. But as we look at this, leading the people like a flock at the hand of Moses and Aaron is much like our Christian walk, I think, because we have the Holy Spirit leading us, don't we? And we have been promised all kinds of things, and we've seen all kinds of miracles in our own lives. One thing I think is very important to recognize in the Psalms. I think there's power in recognizing the testimony as to God's faith in God and His promises as we read aloud the victories in the Psalms. Don't dwell all day on the imprecatory, kill the enemies, because that doesn't really fit the New Testament, right? Because Jesus didn't do that, did he? As they were nailing to the cross, he didn't say, you critters, you're all toast. No, he said, what, Father, forgive them. But the deliverance, I think, is very important, and we have deliverance in so many of the Psalms where we start out, and if you've got prayer involved in almost every Psalm, then it turns out okay. It certainly does after you pray and turn it over to the Lord. So we want to remember, I wrote down a few things here just in summary of what I thought we were looking at here. Times of great despair, it happens to all of us. We cry out with our voice to the Lord, no immediate answer. Often when our prayers aren't answered immediately, what? God has something better for us than we are requesting. Amen. Secondly, we fall into despair and depression, taking matters into our own hands, not praying, personalizing the situation, coming up with all kinds of wild, untrue speculations, doubting that God loves us and even is unable to do anything about it. But we need to turn to Him, trusting Him. Proverbs 3, 5, 6 comes to mind. Trust in Him with all your heart and what? Lean not on your own understanding. We all know that, but do we do it? Then remember all He's done for you. All the miracles, like with Israel. Exodus from slavery, tremendous miracles. Just like He's done for us in the past, delivering us from the slavery of sin. Meditate on these. And now, as in the Psalms, as I mentioned, express out loud faith and praise in testimony to the goodness and the power of God. There's something powerful, something wonderful about doing that. We need to drown out our old Satan-prompted nature and replace it with our new nature in Christ, right? Talking of His deeds, coming to the remembrance, who is so great a God as our God? How quickly can you get there when you're in the pit? You'll never get there if you start feeling sorry for yourself and start questioning, what is God doing? What am I doing? I must have done something really terrible. I mean, we've done enough terrible things in our life. You know, Satan doesn't have too much trouble finding something, right? But that's not where we are. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have been new. So if you find yourself bringing up old things all the time, that's not really fitting, is it? I don't think so. Then remember His promises for what He will do in the future. And how far out? Endless, infinity, throughout eternity. So take that, Satan. I mean, that is really good. Keep one eye on, if not both, on the future, right? On eternity. Yeah, but I'm not in heaven yet. Of course you're not in heaven yet. But you're going there because of what He has done. And you can't stop that. I mean, you can fight and kick and make your life miserable. But if you're really His, it's because of what He has done is the reason we have that living hope. Father, we just thank You for Your word, and we thank You that there, it's so fitting for whether we're up or whether we're down, and when we're really down, we see this. So help us to remember, Lord. Remembrance is such an important part of our walk. Not to be swayed by what we see around us and right in front of us. Because so often it looks so dismal and so dark, and there can't be anything good about this. This is going to be the one time in my life where I'm going to find an exception to all things work together for good. But we find out before it's over that God works them together for good for the believer. Help us to remember that. So lead us now in this time of prayer as You would lead us by Your Spirit, and we would pray as You would have us to pray. Well, as we come to the end of the hour here, reminded of verse 13 in the Psalm today, who is so great a God as our God? And I was just drawn to this hymn, How Great Thou Art. It's kind of personal to me. It was one of the hymns that my dad had requested to be sung at his memorial. And when we're done here, I'll review quickly a little bit about the story behind this song. But let's sing it to him. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, and thy power throughout the universe displayed. How great thou art.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Then sings my soul.
God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Cleansing my soul.
And take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
And sing my soul.
Father, you are truly great. Help us to stand for you, Lord. Help us to not look at everyone else, but not what about him, what about him, what about them, what about this government, what about those and all that. What about me, Lord? As I look back over this last year, how effective have I been in the ministry that you gave me? Why? If there's no reason, if there's reasons it wasn't as effective as I think it should have been, why not? If we look ahead next year, will it be any different? If everybody in the church was like me, what kind of a church would it be? Lord, we all want to be with you. And we all want to say, do this, do that, do this, do that. You've already done it. We're all sealed. There's no scripture that says you're going to be unsealed. It's all based on what you have done, not what we do even. Oh, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You do tell us in your word that we're to hasten that day. How can we hasten that day? I think we hasten that day by letting you be seen in our lives, Lord. Already been mentioned one at a time. We can't save a country. We can't save a government. And you don't ask us to. You ask us to be that witness wherever you put us, Lord. Are we available, Lord? Are we available? Are we filled with your Spirit so that we don't have hollow words and say one thing and live another? Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. You are helping us. It's so redundant to say, help me, Lord, or speak to me, Lord, because you're helping me and speaking to me all the time. But when I say this, it really means that I need to listen and I really need to be faithful and to do. I thank you for this family here, Lord, and I just pray that you would use us, 11, 12, 13, whatever there are, I don't know. But what an army that is. It's as many apostles as you had, and you started the church throughout the whole world. We don't have to look around. Let's look at within. Thank you for the faithfulness of those here, and we just love you, Lord, and we just praise you. Help us to love you even more and to love one another more. Thank you, Lord, for 2022. The Saturday mornings that you enabled us and allowed us to meet here. And if it is your will, we will continue to meet as long as you give us breath, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.